evening. Welcome to the Porch here on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund. Broadcasting live from the Firefall Studio, Firefall Talk Radio, Spreaker.com. We're also found on Blog Talk Radio, the old site, as well as iTunes. So we welcome all those listeners. Getting back to basics, examining the Word of God, especially the Book of Acts Church, focusing on what they did right, learning from what they did wrong, and walking in the power of the day of Pentecost, which I believe is still ongoing. The fire still falls. And through that, we will find and restore the priesthood of the believer, and all of us together will acquire and activate the world-shaking influence that the early church had. To do that, we have to look at the Word through a very pure filter and find the church that the Lord intended, not the one that man created. Porch has now reached Solomon's Porch, Inc. on solomonsporch.org. If you want to reach me or reach the ministry, use the contact button there or go to firefalltalkradio.com. You can find a way to support us on both places. We'd appreciate your support. The newsletter for the Porch went out this week. If you did not get it, check your spam folder. It might have got kicked into there. We always start out with praise reports and prayer requests. If you send them to me before 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Wednesday, I'll make sure I get them in. One of the things I want to start out with, as I see things that relate to the body that needs to be notified and prayed about, I want to bring it up like I did last week with the desecration of the Jewish cemeteries and the rise in anti-Semitism. Well, in Malaysia, a church leader has been missing for 2 weeks. Raymond Ko Keng Joe, age 62, was taken by masked men near Kuala Lumpur on February 13th. No one has claimed responsibility, and there have been no ransom demands. Voice of Persecuted Christians, under its portal name of Release International, claims that Ko's abduction was because of his church work. They also claim that another pastor and his wife, who have not been named, went missing a month ago. International Christian Monitor, Open Doors, who I've quoted on here before, their president and CEO, Dr. David Curry, states, "It is this boiling point that I think is coming to the Christian community in Malaysia. They're under pressure and under attack. They need our prayers. The pressure increasing with every step towards Sharia." He also added, "We don't know who kidnapped him, but we know he was an outspoken person of his faith. He was a pastor well known for trying to reach out to people, share his faith, and live his faith." You know, we live in America where we think we're persecuted. We don't know what persecution is. We will someday. We're not there yet. But Pastor Cole and others like him, they get it. They know it, and they still do it. So please pray for him and his family. Intercede on his behalf. I praise the Lord for my home, my wife, my family, my furry kids. Some of you call them pets. The possessions the Lord has allowed me to acquire. His ministry, which he lets me tend. I praise him for you, each and every one of you, even the ones I don't know. I see the numbers, so I know you're there. I pray for you. His favor and provisions for the vision. I pray for the ability to speak. I praise him for his favor and provisions for the dreams and the visions. He's given me, you know, since I got saved in October of 88, the dreams and the visions and the things I believed he's put on my heart have never wavered, and the fire still burns. And I know everything is in the fullness of time. So I praise him for that. I also pray for that. I praise him for my health. Like I said, it's been getting better. I'm back in the gym. I'm getting battle ready and prepared for what's coming. My prayer is that it continue and the enemy be kept at bay. That's my prayer for each and every one of you. Divine wholeness, health, and healing in every part of your body, your mind, your soul, your spirit. In family relationships, for healing in me and my wife and my family, protection over us, inspiration for the fire to fall right now on every one of you, wherever you are. Let the fire of the throne room, the same fire of the Holy Spirit that fell in the upper room, fall upon you. I pray for the remnant to wake up and to rise up and answer the call to action. Last week I mentioned Mission 2017, to operate efficiently in the calling, expose the enemy, seek and destroy the stronghold, set the captives free. Firefall and SRT need the equipment to make the work easier. So I'm praying for direction in that. Things have been a struggle financially. I know everybody's struggling, so I need to be clear on where to put the resources. So if you'd pray for that, that would be great. Prayer for direction of people to work with and who to bring on board, especially for this documentary that's in development. We have moved forward by faith. The needs are piling up, the calls for help are piling up, and we're believing that this is the time of release. Over the past couple of years, and maybe since the beginning of The Porch, we've had a listener and a supporter, somebody who I've gotten to know. I got to meet her when I was in Ohio at an event. Her name is Angelica. I've asked for prayer for her before. She's had some health issues over the years. Have not heard from her over the years, plural. Had not heard from her or seen her on social media since the end of January. Finally reached out to a family member, and they let me know that she'd been hospitalized and she was on a ventilator in critical condition. Looking at long-term care, her condition unknown. They thought she was going to die, but she did not. I'm praying for God's will to be done. She had told me in communications before, she's tired, she's had health issues her whole life, and if the Lord wants to take her home, she's okay with that. So I'm just praying that the Lord's will be done. If it's not her time for him to raise her up and heal her and get her out, and if it is, let it be peaceful. And for her family. Sarah in upstate New York, I reached out to find out how she was doing. Some of you, you write me and you ask, and I reached out. She said she's healing, and she's dealing with the, I'll call it what it is, the depression that comes from an injury like this. Being taken off your feet, being taken out of your life, of losing those 4 days, of feeling what she's felt, of watching the bills pile up, it becomes overwhelming. If you want to help support her medical needs, go to onsolomonsporch.org, and there is a link there for it. But please pray for her. Pray for the Spirit of the Lord to envelop her, for the glory of the throne room to shine down upon her. Anything the enemy's trying to do in this regard to be null and void, and for the quickening in her mortal body, for her cells to return back to their divine design, so that when they're done and those bandages are gone and this is all over with, the doctors will marvel. Kim in Fort Mitchell. She mentioned something here, and it's going to be a little controversial, but I'm going to go for it anyway. Not one to shy away from that, am I? She said, it's Ash Wednesday. Bring back childhood memories. Nowadays, my spirit doesn't agree with this anymore. Too much of a ritual. Actually, it's more than that, Kim. It's a pagan ritual that has no basis in the Bible, no basis in the church. No born-again Christian of any denomination should be doing it, but that's just my informed opinion. She said, whoever feels the need to put ashes on their heads, help yourself. She says, I hope all is well with you and your family. Yes, thank you. I want to start my praise report by saying thank you to him. Capital H, for his miracles in my life. I've witnessed a miracle when this ministry came together to help pay for my Bruno's surgery. Yep, that is a praise report, folks. Some of you pitched in, and then another listener and a group of listeners and a fellow ministry came on board, and it got done. Bruno has had the tumor removed. And she said, it still puts tears in my eyes thinking about it. She says, I want to thank you, each one of you, from the bottom of my heart. He's recovering and doing well. Continue to pray for the healing over his body. She says, I praise the Lord for my salvation, my children, this ministry, that I can be a part of this. For my sobriety, for my family, my unborn baby, my job, and everything he has blessed me with. said, Father, I'm praying for my friend Stacy and her children, praying for you to protect them, protect my family from the enemy and everyone else in this ministry. I'm asking you to protect the baby and I, praying for my husband's soul. Again, I have asked it before. I'm going to ask it again. I'm looking for somebody to make it their daily locked-in, laser-like focus on the salvation of Kim's husband. Says, I'm praying for my mother. Show them who you are. I am asking, praying for financial blessings for SRT in Jesus' name. She mentioned some people. I'm praying for Betsy, Wanda, Jamie, and Medina. Heal them, protect them, Father. Reveal to me the traps of the enemy and give me the courage to stand up and speak your word. Show me how to forgive in Jesus' name. Remove the character defects that make me sick. Remove the fears and patience, the urge to control, expectation, jealousy, and everything that is not from your kingdom in Jesus' name. Nick in Dallas. Prayer request. If you remember last week, I mentioned he had the bug that was going around. He said after dealing with that bug, he's pretty much finished with the virus, but he still gets winded easily. So he's asking for healing and patience as he deals with the limited strength and the recovery and improvement of his stamina. And some of you that are listening, you have a prayer request, offer it up as I begin to pray. Until the shofar sounds, pray it. Let it out there. Put it out there. Put the name of a loved one. Put a blessing. Praise him for a blessing. Put out a need. Take advantage of this time because we are coming together collectively. We are touching and agreeing. And if you will tap into that and you will believe in that, you will see him move. Father, we just come to you now in the name of Yeshua, the name above all names, the only name in heaven and earth by which we may be saved, healed, delivered. I pray for your children right now, Father. I pray for them to be saved, healed, and delivered. I pray for them to be filled with the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. I pray for them to be used by you to set the captives free. I pray for them to be protected from the enemy. I pray for them to shine the light into the darkness and to lead people home. I pray, Father, that you would watch over them and give them the courage to join me and boldly approach the throne of grace and mercy, crying out, Abba, Father, Papa, God, Daddy. I know how much you love your children. You've shown me. I have felt it in my heart. But they don't get it. Some of them don't get it, Father. And I'm asking that the walls come down that keep them from having that. I'm asking for the scales to fall off their eyes. All the things done to them by loved ones and parents and people that watched over them, people that may have done things to them that were ungodly, immoral, and disgusting. Help them. Bathe them in your love. I pray for them to have peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding. I pray for the darkness to flee. You came in one way, now flee seven in the name of Yeshua. Let them go. Bless this time. Bless this technology. Bless this word. Father, glorify yourself. We thank you for Yeshua. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the empty tomb, the upper room. We thank you for the outpouring and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we just thank you for your love and what you did. We thank you for what you're doing, and we long to see you. We long to see you, Lord, face to face, for you to split the sky and come get us, and then let's come back and fix this dark, broken, wounded planet and put it back the way it was in the garden. I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. lessons are proprietary information, except where noted that the information comes from outside sources. The combination of that information and the manner presented is exclusive, cannot be repeated or reused without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. Let me say this before I go on. I have gotten a sense in my spirit that there are many people that tune in to listen and then tune out because I go on for 15 minutes with prayers and praise and doing what we do. The Porch is different. We're not a regular Bible study podcast. This is a fellowship. It's an online fellowship, a worldwide online fellowship of believers who want to come together, A, to learn the Word. There's no doubt about that. But to pray for one another and to care about one another and to do this, and I believe the Lord's about to open the doors so that we can start creating little pockets of fellowships, porches everywhere, and this will be the way for all of them to come together via Skype or whatever, but don't tune out. Don't tune out. Hang in there. There's a saying that there are two sides to every story, and somewhere in the middle lies the truth. And what's interesting is each side has their truth, and then there is the truth. So we have to ask the question, what is truth? That's the title for tonight's session of the Porch. What is truth? Let's go to the Word. Open your Bibles. Open your apps. Well, it's going to be interesting. My tongue wants to go in another direction here that won't be English. I'm going to hold it together. Whew. Praise you, Lord. John 8, starting at verse 23. And he said to them, "You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I said that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." And then they said to him, "Who are you?" And Yeshua said to them, "Just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him." They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. And then he said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Verse 31, and then Yeshua said to the Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" And Yeshua answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." So I take verse 32 and 36, put them together. This is what it says. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." It's the truth that sets you free. And he made that statement, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teaching." And right after that, he took it to the truth. So the only way we know the truth is to be faithful to his teachings. The only way to be free is to know the truth. In his wisdom, in his word, we find the truth. And as I walk in this world and as I do ministry now for actually 28 plus years, I got thrust into ministry almost immediately got ordained, licensed in 91 and ordained in 92. And that's been the process since then. But from the moment I got saved, I got thrust into ministry. And the whole time has been a process. It's been a growing process. It's been a learning process. It's been a truth process. So in his wisdom, we find truth. But there's only two sources of wisdom in this world. Either the wisdom from above, like he said, I'm from above, I'm not of this world. Or the wisdom that comes from this world, which is earthly, it's fleshly, and it's demonic. Let's just call it what it is. James chapter 3, starting verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Meekness being controlled power. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, the opposite of that is not peaceable, argumentative, not gentle, but rough and abrasive and abusive, not willing to yield, but wanting to win, wanting to have their way. If you've ever been in an argument or in the middle of one where neither side wanted to yield an inch, you realize that there will be no peaceable outcome. Full of mercy and good fruits. Sometimes you have to lose the battle to win the war. Sometimes you have to let things go to get where you want to be. There can't be partiality, and there can't be hypocrisy. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. What is the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him? Well, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge. And we know that because he tells us that in John 14, 15, and 16. But he tells us something else. John 15, 26, when the helper, the parakletos, the one who runs alongside of you, the one who encourages you, the one who walks with you, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds, literally emanates from the Father, he will testify of me. And we go to John 16, verses 13 and 14. However, when he, what? The Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. When I see a situation where there is no truth, when I see a situation where there are lies, deceit, manipulation, all the things that are opposite of truth, I immediately wonder, where's the Holy Spirit in this situation? He's the Spirit of truth. Has he backed away? Has he been so shut out that the person is desensitized to him? Or has he never been there at all? Romans 2:8, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. We live in a world that is self-seeking. We live in I'll call it a church, a man-made one, that is self-seeking. It's about denominations, it's about people, it's about egos, it's about agendas, it's about politics, it's about a lot of things that have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. And there's a whole lot of self-seeking. If you have never sat in on a church board meeting, you don't know what I'm talking about. There's no truth. There's no righteousness. There's only indignation and wrath, because the spirit of truth is not there. See, spiritual truth, according to this is a quote from Oswald Chambers, spiritual truth is discernible only to a pure heart, not to a keen intellect. It's not a question of profundity of intellect, but of the purity of a heart. You don't understand the Holy Spirit by how smart you are. You understand the Holy Spirit and His truth by the condition of your heart. This is something that has bothered me for a while as I look at people struggle, as I look at relationships struggle. Nobody's listening. They're only waiting for the other person to stop speaking. They have their own agendas. They have their own desires. They know what they want their outcome to be. Normally in situations like that, I will help as long as I can, and then I will eventually remove myself from the situation because I realize I'm not a benefit. Because I see everything pretty much black and white. I see everything through the eyes of the Lord, to the best of my ability. But I see everything for sure through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, who is what? Spirit of truth. Go with me to Romans chapter 2, verse 7. And I really hope that you download this stuff, that you take notes, that you go back and listen again, that you take these nuggets that the Lord gives me. Some of them happen right here during the day that I'm working on it as He helps me build this quilt, if you will, this tapestry of Scripture. And he real quickly, he showed me that today, and it was one of those great moments of him taking me to Scripture after Scripture after Scripture, cutting and pasting it and looking, going, how does this tie together, Lord? I'll just keep doing it. And then I cut and I paste and I cut and I paste. Then I go back to where I started, and then he begins to speak to me, and then he begins to tie it all together, and I began to see it as this giant tapestry of things that don't appear to fit together but actually do. And when it's all done, I'm just amazed at His work. I'm just along for the ride. Romans chapter 2, verse 7. Eternal life to those who by patient continuation in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth but obey in righteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation, and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. There's no partiality with God. That was the continuation before and after of Romans 2:8 from before. God's not partial. If you do well, you're blessed. If you don't do well, you're not. He has certain laws in His world, in His kingdom, that He will abide. Now, the truth that we base all this on, of course, is the truth of the Word and the truth of the Lord, but it really refers back to the gospel message. All of it is the gospel message. Doesn't matter what title I give it. It doesn't matter what direction I take it. It's the gospel message. Look at Galatians 2:5. To whom we did not yield submission for an hour, but that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Everything that Paul did was about the continuance of the truth of the gospel. Whether he was writing about the gifts of the Spirit, or the armor of God, or dealing with a person out of order in the church, or whatever, everything was about the truth of the gospel. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. How many people do you sit with in a big congregation or a small congregation or maybe a home fellowship that are not free? They leave in bondage, they come back in bondage, and they never find their way. They are caught up in selfish ambition or strife. And it's never going to change until you change, until you let go, until you decide, I'd rather be godly in this scenario. Or as I said to somebody today, sometimes it's better, you don't need to be right. You need to be righteous. And that is a choice. You have to choose in the midst of every situation, no matter what it is, am I going to seek being right or am I going to seek being righteous? See, James talks about it. In James 3, verses 14 and then 16, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. One of the things I learned early on, one of the simpler things, is that truth isn't subjective. Truth is truth whether you believe it or not. Truth is truth whether you think it's truth or not. It's self-evident. It doesn't need you to make it true. It just is. Actually, Winston Churchill said that. Truth is incontrovertible. Panic may resent it. Ignorance may deride it. Malice may distort it. But there it is. Meaning, no matter what, it's still truth. When it's all said and done, it's still truth. Whether the world thinks that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of the living God, the only begotten of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, doesn't change the fact that it's the truth. If the world and some false teachers don't believe that it's true, that there is a lake of fire, there is an eternal damnation, there is an eternal punishment created for Satan and his angels and the fallen and the demonic, and that those who choose to swim there will be sent there. It doesn't matter what they believe. It just is. It doesn't, you know, they used to think the world was flat, and if you went to a certain point, you just fell off the edge into nothingness. And my point has always been, when I bring that up, them thinking the world was flat didn't make it any less round. It was still round. And on that note, some professional athlete came out and said recently that the world is flat and, you know, people need to pay attention. Yeah. Okay. Play basketball. There's a Jewish proverb. The truth is its own witness. But you know what? Religion, religious thinking, and ritual will disagree. A religious mind can't yield to the truth. If you confront somebody who is religious, legalistic in their thinking or their actions with a truth that goes against their parameters, they can't handle it. They're locked in. They're cemented into their opinion. I've been around people with that religious spirit. I've been around people with that legalistic spirit. And as I begin to poke it with the word and I begin to show it, it's wrong. 99% of the time, what will happen is there'll be a shifting in their eyes. There'll be a squint. There'll be a gritting of their teeth. And if it keeps going on, it'll lead to anger. I know I've probably mentioned this, but I was invited to a Jewish wedding once in the New York before I moved. And for whatever reason, my friend knew what I was and what I believed, and he sat me right down next to one of his Orthodox uncles, who looked at me and just kind of blurted it out. I don't know where it came from, that I shouldn't even be there. And I said, why is that? He said, well, you're not Jewish. And at that point, I didn't know that I really was. So I couldn't answer that. I said, well, Jesus is a Jew. He didn't come to start a new religion, came to fulfill an old one. There wasn't a prophet for 400 years before him, and there hasn't been one since. If it would have been a cartoon, steam would have come out of his ears, because I had hit him with things that could not have been diffused by a logical argument, but he was too caught up in his orthodoxy and his religion, and he just turned his back on me, literally shifted his chair, and never looked at me again the rest of the evening. See, we can't live a life like that. I see that in the church. I see that with people that are so locked into one extreme or another that they can't understand that there is a truth to the gospel. There's a truth to the word. Everything is done in love. There's therefore now no condemnation to anyone who is in Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. That peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. But how do we do that when we won't listen, when we won't accept the truth in love or any other way? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:2, we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. What is the manifestation of truth? That Yeshua came to set the captives free. That he came to die on that cross for you to be restored and reconciled to the Father. I am living proof of every aspect of Yeshua's ministry. Salvation, restoration, reconciliation, healing, deliverance from the demonic. And so are many of you. You are barometers of the truth. You are measurements of the truth. You are walking testaments of the truth. That Jesus is who he says he is, that the word is what he says he is, that he is what we say he is. But the problem is human thought doesn't accept that. Psalm 94:11, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. A futile mind will not accept the truth. Right now, anybody listening to this message who's not born again, or maybe caught up in religious denominational thinking, probably tuned me out when I made the comment about Astros, if they're still listening at all. Instead of thinking, you know what? Whether I agree or disagree, let maybe do my own research. Maybe I'll look and see, what is the origin of that ritual? Where did it come from? Why do they ask me to do it? Why did I do it? See, the thing about truth is it'll open your eyes. Truth will open your heart. It will change your life. And I know that because God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him how? In spirit and truth. They must worship him through the Holy Spirit, who is the spirit of truth. That was John 4:24. I already mentioned the fruit of the Spirit, goodness, righteousness, and truth, Ephesians 5:9. But let me burst another bubble. Perception is not truth. Sometimes it's just flat out a lie. It's false to the facts. And when we become awake, it is incumbent upon us to find out what the truth is. I had a perception about Jesus of Nazareth. I had a perception about religion. I had a perception about church. I was bound by my upbringing, by my hereditary teaching, by my lineage, by where I was born. And I was, my perception of everything about God was false. And when I was awakened to that, it was incumbent upon me to seek the truth. It was incumbent upon me once the scales fell off my eyes and I could see, and the blockage, spiritual blockage to my ears were opened and I could hear, and my heart was softened and opened to the Spirit of God, that I would listen and feel and love and seek the truth. And when I found the truth, guess what, folks? I was and am free. But what is perception? And how does it mess up this whole teaching? See, perception is a conscious understanding of something. Truth is true facts, genuine depiction, or a statement of reality. And one of the things I've held to, and I don't know where I got it from, sometimes people don't let facts get in the way of their truth. Because to them, their perception is reality. Let me say that again. To many people, especially about something that they are emotional about, committed to, have a stake in, or vested, whatever you want to call it, perception is their reality. And I cannot break them out of that to get them to the truth until I accept what their reality is. I don't accept it as truth. I just accept it as their truth. Albert Einstein said, reality is merely an illusion, albeit a very persistent one. Truth is always what it has to come back to. So if I'm dealing with you in any way, shape, or form, friends or ministry or whatever, and I perceive to be that your perception has become a foundational truth for you, I have to find a way to get you to see that it's not. Just like I did. I was confronted. I was rebuked. I was chastised. I was Bible thumped upside my head verbally, not literally. Literally would have put me in jail because I would have hurt them. The point was, is that none of that changed my perception. None of that changed my truth. What changed my truth was love, unconditional love, until by my own choice, I saw the truth. And I want it to be free. Truth, biblical truth, is what holds it all together. Without it, everything falls apart into religious acting. Yeah, I didn't say action. I said religious acting. I'm an actor. I'm a trained actor. It's a pretty good one, too. Had I stayed with it, I probably would have done really well, but the Lord had other plans for me. So I know acting. I see good acting. I've seen a lot of good acting on pulpits, behind pulpits on stages. I've seen a lot of good acting on Christian TV. I know a good actor when I see one. But biblical truth will change all that. Biblical truth will overshadow that. Biblical truth will expose that. And my goal for you is to walk in the fullness of what he intended for you. My goal for you, if you're listening, whether now or you've always been listening and will continue to listen, is to get you to a place where you are walking in the fullness of what he desires for you, whatever that may be. And to do that, we've got to come to a place of acknowledging the truth, of letting go of preconceived notions, of letting go of false realities, things that we have created, of letting the facades fall down, letting our eyes be opened, letting the lights come on so that we can see everything. See, we're in a war, and the war is a war for the truth. When Hasatan confronted Yeshua in the wilderness, he spoke the word, but he spoke it in such a way that it wasn't true. He manipulated, he twisted it, he misapplied it. It's really easy to do. He's really good at taking an element of the truth and turning it into a lie. There's a movie opening up this weekend based upon a very popular book called The Shack that I will flat out tell you is not of God, is not of the throne room, that it is a lie. It doesn't matter how good it makes you feel. It doesn't matter how it plays on your emotions. It doesn't matter how it makes sense to you. Your perception is not the truth about that book and about its message. Biblical truth overcomes that. But this is a war for the truth. This is a war for your eyes to be open. This is a war for you not to be deceived. And the Lord warned us that even the elect would become deceived if he did not cut the time short. Satan's in the deception business. The fallen are good at it. Their demonic offspring are good at it. They've been trained in it. They're in the family business of deception. Hollywood's in the business of deception. We need to stand. Therefore, having girded our waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which we will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You notice how that started out? Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. The belt of truth. That's what it is. The belt of truth. In that he presents to us six pieces of spiritual armor. Four are mentioned specifically, and the belt and the shoes are applied, but we know by the Greek words what he's talking about and what he says. And the soldiers, the Roman soldiers, which is the example that Paul was using, they held all of the armor together with a belt, which if they didn't, the breastplate would flap around, probably fall off. Once they strapped that thing on, it held it all together, and it had leather straps that hung down from it that had metal little metal studs on them, and it was a protection over the groin and over those areas. But it also allowed it to hold their weapons. See, truth holds your weapons together. Truth was crucial for the armor of God. That's why Paul mentioned it so quickly. Because a dishonest believer cannot hope to be effective in spiritual warfare. Because a dishonest believer not only can't withstand the father of lies, he's standing with him. He's actually serving him by implication. Truth is integrity. Truth is a life of truthfulness and honesty. I have a couple of pet peeves in life, but my biggest is I detest being lied to. Because if you lie to me, you tell me you do not respect me, you do not care about me, and that you're trying to manipulate me or get one over on me. Having had my father walk out when I was a kid, coming from a broken home, dealing with all the things I dealt with in my life, honesty and integrity have always been something I have lived by, even to my own detriment. It doesn't matter. I will be honest to a fault. But I detest being lied to. Now, as a believer, and understanding who the Spirit of Truth is, and understanding who the Father of Lies is, even more so do I hate it. Because this armor that I wear in this warfare is to defend and support me. Of course, the sword of the Spirit I can attack with. But I want to be grounded. I want you to be grounded, to be able to stand your ground. We have to be sober, vigilant, because we have an adversary who walks about like a roaring lion, looking to devour someone, to tear them apart with his teeth. So therefore, we must resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that our brothers and sisters in the world are experiencing the same sufferings and attacks against their mind, against their heart, against their body, against their finances, against their marriage, against their children. But we need to stand in the truth. We need to stand in peace. We need to believe the word. We need to believe he is who he says he is. We need to believe he's as good as his word, that he wouldn't lie. He's not a practical joker. He's not a con man. If he said it, he means it. He'll do it. Therefore, I will submit to God. I will submit to his word. I will submit to the spirit of truth. And when I do that, I then have the ability through the armor, through the warfare, through the word, through the spirit to resist the devil, to push him back, to throw up my hands spiritually, maybe even physically, and say no, to draw a line in the sand, say you shall not pass. You have no access to me, to my home, my family, my pets, and my possession. You have no access to the people I stand in the gap for. I will resist you, steadfast in the faith, knowing who I am, knowing who my Abba Father is. And that belt of truth is holding it all together, tight against the body. And even though it's got a place for the sword, I don't hook it up. That thing stays in my hand. And here's what I hold on to. John 14:6. Yeshua said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. My access to the Father, my access to the throne room is through Yeshua. He is the way. He is the truth and the life. So I know that if he's the truth, then God is the truth, and the spirit he sent back is the spirit of truth. I've begun to realize what is truth. Deuteronomy 32:4, he is the rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. He's a God of truth. Psalm 25:4-5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. The Lord prayed for us. He prayed for his disciples. And that prayer gets passed down and applied to us in John 17:17-19. And the prayer was, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, and they also may be sanctified by the truth. The right path, the path of wisdom, means I am open to instruction, to the teaching that leads to life. The knowledge of truth is not simply head knowledge. As you know, if you listen to me on Reflections in the Dark, I have a problem with eggheads. I have a problem with people that have head knowledge. They have no experiential knowledge. I want people that know that they know because they've experienced it. They've been around it. They've done it. The knowledge of the truth, of knowing what is truth, isn't head knowledge. It's heart knowledge. It comes from receiving Messiah, not just as Savior, but as of Lord. And the acceptance of Yeshua and the receiving of the truth is accompanied by walking in the truth and walking in the light, because the Spirit is walking with you, and he is the truth. He is the light. He is the fire. Do you see where all this goes? Now, you may say to me, I get it, Richard, why am I not doing it? Well, I have a suggestion. Be teachable. The other thing I learned growing up, my mother taught it to me, and I applied it in every part of my life, including acting and bodybuilding and security work and anything that I did to do well. I got around people who knew more than I did. and I assimilated their knowledge and their experiential knowledge and everything they could teach me, and then I applied it. Be around people that know what you want to know and have been where you want to go. To be a good leader, you have to be a good follower. You need to be teachable. As I've told you in these teachings and in my book, when I became born again and moved to Tallahassee, and my pastor and spiritual father, Pastor Shelley, I was his shadow. If he went somewhere and I was allowed to go, I went there too. And sometimes he let me go places that he didn't let anybody else go. I was in his office when I shouldn't have been. I was in meetings that I probably shouldn't have been into, and I just sat there and I listened. We must be teachable. Romans 12:2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So what do I do? How do I get here, Richard? I want to know what truth is. I want to have what you're talking about, but I'm not getting it. Well, go to Philippians 4:8 and make this your prayer every day. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Be teachable. Let the Spirit teach you. Let Him change you. When He shows you the areas of your life that are out of order or not in alignment with Him and with the Word, do whatever you have to do to change them. Don't worry about what the other person's doing, what your partner's doing, what the people at the church are doing. You do it. And then when somebody says to you, what is truth? You can tell them because you've learned it, you've applied it, and you're living it because Yeshua is the truth. The Father is the truth. The Holy Spirit is their spirit, the spirit of truth. And we live in a world that wants lies. We live in a world that wants deception and facades and fakes. But I won't go along with the world. I won't do what the world says do. I will live the life. I will walk the walk. I will talk the talk. I will do what He said to do. I will set the captives free. I will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I will cast out demons. I'll get people saved, healed, and delivered. If I go out to eat with my family, we grab hands, we pray over the food. I don't care what the world thinks. I am living the truth. I am being the truth because I want to be Him. And I want the world to see Him. Father, I come to you now. In the name of Yeshua, I come to you in the power of the Holy Spirit. On behalf of your children that have listened to this, they may be struggling with it. Maybe it's pierced a part of their mind, their heart, their soul, or their spirit. Maybe it's put a crack in that wall. I pray the wall would come down. I pray that the wounds would be healed. I pray that the darkness would be gone and the light would shine. I pray your love would flow into their hearts and out of their hearts into others. Most of all, I pray that the Spirit of truth would walk up beside them and guide them into all truth so that they could live the life that you desire for them, that they could live to the fullness of what you desire. And then we can go do what you've asked us to do and prepare a way, a highway, clear the debris, clear the obstacles for the return of the King. I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.